Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, it's so good to have you here this evening, and I'm going to take my sanitizer with me. And tonight I want to share a short word with you. You know, even in a church, we go through ups and downs. We have good times and bad times, difficult times, challenges that come. So I want to talk to you tonight about what do you do when you're faced with a sudden crisis. And I'm not talking about like where things are going bad for the world, because welcome to 2021, okay? I'm talking about like a crisis. All of a sudden, you just get hit from the side where you just didn't see this thing coming. And it can be so hard, it can be so challenging that it just rocks your entire world. I mean, everything was just going great all of a sudden, and you know, everything's going good, life's been good, things have been going well, but then suddenly something just hits you from the side. You just don't even think it's coming at all. It can be suddenly you get fired. You know, we can make it, you know, even something worse. Suddenly something happens with a family member. Maybe someone gets into an accident, maybe someone dies, something happens, where suddenly you're just faced with an extreme, overwhelming crisis. What do we do? What I want to say to you is that theologically we can discuss this. And there are many theological explanations on how to handle crisis. And they are good. But I choose tonight to come with a solution for a crisis that goes beyond natural understanding. Because I've come to realize that we serve a God that does the impossible. So why do we look for natural answers from a supernatural God? Why do we go for natural results from a supernatural God when He has a supernatural answer for us? The problem is it's sometimes so difficult for us to get to that point where we actually are like in that place where we set ourselves up for something unbelievable. But how many of you know that everything about Jesus is not normal? I mean, come on guys. He walked on water. He raised the dead. You know, He didn't part the sea. He just thought, I'll just walk on it. You know, let's not waste time parting it and walking on mud. I'll just walk over it. You know, I mean, there was nothing normal about Him. So why is it that when we go to Him, we expect normal results? When we're faced with a crisis, you have to decide what you're going to believe for. Now, I'm not saying that every time you're going to have the result that you're hoping for. But what I am saying is it's worth the risk. It's worth stepping out and believing God for something unbelievable. Because every time I've seen God do something amazing, I've seen God do amazing things in marriages. I've seen God do amazing things in families. I've seen God do amazing things in healing. I've seen God do incredible things. I walked into a hospital not too long ago with a situation where the nurse came in and literally told the family, listen, how long do you want to keep her on the machine? Let me know. Because she's dying. And we said one prayer, there was no anointing, there was no butterflies, there was no presence of nothing, one prayer. And she walked out of the hospital 2 days later and everything is gone from her body. This is it. I didn't fast or pray or anything. I just believed. I just believed that God's word is truth in a crisis. Are you with me? Now, I want to go to a very familiar passage of scripture to share this with you. And actually, this was something that I heard. I actually heard this message and I'm going to be ministering it to you because it touched me so much. I don't do this very often, but I really want to share it with you. So it's John 11, verse number 1. John 11, verse number 1. And this is what it says. This is the story of Lazarus, but there's an incredible lesson here in a crisis. Watch this now. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now it's interesting, they want to make sure you know who we're talking about. Therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And it's interesting because in verse number 5, it also says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So it's very important that you understand that we're about to discuss someone who the Lord really loves. And guess what? They get sick. Which means that sometimes a crisis will come your way and it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. Are you with me? Because oftentimes we think when something goes wrong, that all of a sudden God doesn't love us anymore. You know, maybe Lazarus, you know, said something really bad to one of the guys at the well. I don't know. And then everyone thought he was bad and now he sinned and now God's gonna kill him. And that's not how it works. There was a crisis all of a sudden. Jesus loves Mary, Jesus loves Martha, and Jesus loves Lazarus. He loves all three of them very, very much. The Bible tells us this. And yet still, all three of them are in a crisis. Lazarus, who's really experiencing the crisis because he's very, very sick. But at the same time, and you need to get this perspective, because oftentimes when we read the Bible, we kind of read it like it's just a story, and we don't capture the emotion of it, of what's really taking place. These people, the woman who wept at Jesus' feet, you know, Martha who served the Lord, you know, with a whole heart, Lazarus whom the Lord loved so much, all three of them are in a crisis. Now, every one of them are experiencing great pain. Every one of them are experiencing sudden, intense pressure, fear, whatever the enemy is throwing at them in this moment, because Lazarus is really sick. And immediately, the Bible wants to make it clear to you that Jesus loves them, but this was allowed. Is that okay? What's important that you understand, does the Bible tell us that Jesus got mad with Lazarus and struck him so that he would die? So did the Lord make him sick? No, but he got sick. Is that okay? It was allowed, but it wasn't the Lord who did it. So don't think that God's the one doing stuff to you. You know, there are times where we do things and we open the door for the enemy to attack us. One wonderful thing about God is that he always takes even what the enemy does and turns it around if we allow him. Is that okay? But I want you to see that because it's really important that Jesus loved all three of them. And then in verse number 4 it says, and when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now this is something very interesting, because one thing that I've often done when faced with a real crisis is that this is what I ask God. I'll say to the Lord, Lord, what is this? Is this something that is really intense, that is sickness unto death? Is this going to cause death? Or is this something that's going to bring you glory? Are you with me? I think and I believe that God would rather get the glory out of a situation. Are you with me? I believe that God would rather get the glory out of any situation, because God's in the business of saving people's lives, of drawing people to himself. So we must always have a look. You'll see that Jesus begins and he says, he basically tells us, where's the verse? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And it's amazing because this sets us up for everything that is about to take place. But it's interesting because you'll notice during the story that everybody forgets about this. Everybody forgets. The disciples forget that Jesus has already said that, listen, don't worry about this. I've got this. This is taken care of. God's going to get the glory. But remember now, the disciples, everyone's in a little bit of crisis, but Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are really in a crisis. Can you say? You said it. So sometimes God will take what the enemy means for bad and turn it into something good so that the Father can get the glory. I don't know about you, but I want every bad thing that happens to me for God to turn it around and for Him to get the glory. When I'm in a crisis, I'm going to cry out to God and say, Father, let this thing bring you glory. Father, let this thing touch my family members. Let this thing touch the doctors. Let this thing touch my neighbors. Let this thing touch my staff. Let this thing, Father, touch everyone. Let this thing that's happening to us right now, let it bring you glory in some way, Father. Verse number 5 tells us what I've already read you. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So I want you to see the overemphasis of this. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Really, Lord? But this is so important, and I'm so glad it's in the text. Because sometimes when the crisis hits, we want the miracle right away. We want the breakthrough right away. And because we don't see the immediate result, we have a tendency to give up, or to believe that God doesn't want to save, or to believe that God doesn't want to bring you through this, or to believe that God now all of a sudden has left you. Are you with me? But the Bible says he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. So Jesus was in no hurry. Why? Well, we know why. Because he was going to bring glory to the Father through what was going to happen. He's already told us that. But at this point, everybody's forgetting. They're forgetting that God is the author and finisher of our faith. That he knows your beginning from your end. That he will never leave you nor forsake you. That he's with you through every storm. That he's might feel to you sometimes that he's asleep in the bow, in the middle of a storm. But listen, once you finally get his attention, he gets up and he silences the storm. Are you with me? But the fact of the matter is, you have to stick with him. You have to believe. You have to recognize who it is that's with you in the boat. Let's go to the next verse. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone who walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said. And after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. But I'm glad that the Bible explains to us exactly what's really going on in the next verse. However, Jesus spoke of his death. So in other words, Jesus knew he was already dead. Jesus waits 2 days. While he's waiting, he knows Lazarus is dead. He tells his disciples, listen, don't worry. We're going to Lazarus. We've got to get there. But he's asleep. The disciples say, well, you know, that's good that he's sleeping, because if he's sleeping, that means, you know, that he's going to get well. But the Lord is actually speaking about his death. But they thought he was speaking about rest. And then Jesus said to them plainly, here comes a rude awakening. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. I don't know about you, but if I'm with Jesus at this moment and he says this to me, I'm going to be like, this guy is a little bit unusual. But at this point, you must understand, they've seen the Lord do so many great things. And he's telling us from the very beginning of the story that all of this is happening because at the end of it all, God is going to get the glory. He's telling us now again that for your sake, disciples, for your sake, and not only yours, everything is busy happening because ultimately there's going to be glory given to God. Ultimately, you are going to see the Lord do something unbelievable. Ultimately, you're going to see something that is impossible take place. Can you imagine the disciples must have been like, well, maybe he's going to say something really nice and everybody's going to feel better and we're going to see that and that's going to be good. But at this point, I think all of them are in crisis mode because Lazarus is dead. Are you with me? I hope I've overemphasized enough to you about how you have to hang on when you don't get the breakthrough immediately. I can't overemphasize it enough because I've been in battles. Right now we have a family in our church, a precious family that is fighting for their daughter. And they are holding on and I'm in contact with them the whole time and they're standing in such faith for their child because their child is really, really, has been a bad accident. But I'm watching them stand. I'm watching them have faith. And it doesn't matter what anybody says, including the doctors. Thank God it's been really good so far, the reports. But even if the doctors give a negative report, we know what the Lord can do. And you see, here's the problem. Is that many of you, as soon as I say that, you begin to go, oh, no, that's not good, you know. And that's the problem with you. That's why you never see a breakthrough. That's why you never have a miracle. Someone has to be crazy enough to believe that even when the doctors say it's bad, Jesus can come through and do something supernatural. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. So right now, crisis mode is affecting everybody. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. How many of you think this is looking like a possible situation? Do you think that right now things look normal? Do you think that when it comes to, I want you to try and imagine it. It's been 4 days. He's dead. It's impossible. There's no way. Have you ever been in a situation where something so bad happens and now inside your little heart, you're thinking, man, well, what if God could do something? What if the Lord could actually do a miracle? And then immediately you'll hear this other voice that'll go, that just doesn't make any sense. That just doesn't seem possible. And in the natural, that's true. In the natural, it is impossible. There is no scientific or theological reason for anything to happen in this situation except for Lazarus's body to decay. Are you with me? But the circumstances are not normal. Because about to arrive in this little town of Bethany is God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's about to arrive on the scene. And there's nothing normal about him. There's nothing natural about him. Wherever he goes, the Bible says that he would go and he would preach the gospel of the kingdom. Well, the truth is, it was more what he did than what he said that changed people. I think that people would watch him, the way he spoke, the way he carried himself, the way he would love people, the way he would minister to people, the way he would minister to the supernatural. Everything he did, I think, spoke volumes. And people would even just hear about him. And just based on what they heard about him, would believe that he would come, and when he would come, something amazing would happen. Did you know that you've heard about him? You too have heard. In fact, you've heard much more than most of those in those days. You've heard about his power. You've heard about His supernatural ability, the supernatural power and love that He has for us. We have an entire book numbered all the way from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book of Revelation with everything, verses and scriptures and chapters. And I mean, it couldn't be better organized so that we can get it. But yet we still don't believe. We believe the Word of God, but we don't believe the one who lives and breathes and comes through the Word of God. We don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can still walk into the room and still do something unbelievable. And the most of the time it's because we're so worried. We're so concerned. Well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, what if we don't see the miracle? What if it doesn't happen? We're going to look so bad. So what if you look bad? What happens though when it does happen? What are you going to do though when the miracle does take place? The problem is you'll never find out if you never step out. You'll never see it happen until you make a decision to do something unbelievable. Until you make a decision to believe for something impossible. But you have to believe. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. He's been dead now 4 days. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, watch this, because this is good stuff now. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I have faith. I know that if you were here, the miracle would have taken place. Are you with me? And then she even goes on to say, but even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. In other words, she's getting it in her head. She's understanding it in her mind. Theologically, she's getting it. But Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last days. So in other words, she's saying, listen, I believe, I'm so thankful because of who you are, but I'm thankful because I know that he will rise again. But she's completely missed the point. And so Jesus said to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now watch. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with him in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Listen, guys, when you want a miracle, do your best to get around away from all those that have already decided it's over. And I don't say that in a disrespectful way, because people are there to love you and support you, but be very careful of that negativity, because it's over for them and it's not over for you, because you believe that God can still do something supernatural, that God can still give you a breakthrough. Are you with me? What verse are we? 31. Okay, there we go. Then when Mary came, verse 32, where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You've got to try and understand, guys. Put yourself in their position. You would have done exactly the same thing. I guarantee you, you wouldn't have ran to him and gone, oh Lord, Lazarus is dead. But come hither. Because when we get religious, we talk in the King James Version, right? Okay, well, that's more like Shakespeare, though, I think. So, but that's what we have a tendency. We get very religious. When you're in crisis, it's hard to have faith. This is the woman that adored the Lord. And she's crying out in her humanity. And she says, she falls down saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Next verse. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, because in that moment, I believe, I can't tell you exactly what he thought because I wasn't there with him. I didn't ask him. But what I can tell you is I would imagine that he saw the humanity in that moment, the desperation. And when we're in a situation of crisis like that, there's a hopelessness that comes upon us, even when we do love God. And so his spirit is troubled because he's realized that death is having its way in this situation. And the worst spirit is the spirit of death. Next verse. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Next verse. And the shortest verse in the Bible. He wept. He wept in that moment. Because he experienced what they were experiencing. I believe he felt what they were feeling. Oh, well, you know, don't be emotional. Okay. Jesus, you're not allowed to do that. He was caught up in it. He was caught up in that moment. In that human moment. And when you are suffering loss, or when you are suffering in a situation of crisis, that's normal. But there has to be a point where you stop and you say, wait. Wait just a minute. I have to believe. Not because of what the doctors say, not because of my situation, my job, whatever it is. In the natural, it looks impossible. But in that moment, you have to believe that he is who we see him to be. It's not even who he says he is. You can see it. Go read your Bible. Have you not heard? Have you not heard of his goodness? Have you not heard of his mercy? Have you not heard of his love? Have you not seen his compassion? Do you think he loves you any less than he loved the demon-possessed man? Do you think he loved you any less than he loved the blind man? Do you think he loves you any less than he loved the paralytic? Why do you think he loves you any less? Let's go to the next verse. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. This is now Jesus. See how Jesus loved Lazarus. Now again, we could get all theological and talk about how he's crying because they don't have faith and all that stuff. But come on, guys, let's be real. Jesus was in this moment. Maybe that is the reason he was crying. Maybe it isn't. I don't know for sure. Just give me a minute. I need to fix my mic. Truth is, I don't have to ask her twice to sing. She'll do it. All right, there we go. Sorry about that. But it was about to like fall off my face. Okay. Verse 36. Then Jesus said, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? You see now, that's how so many of us are. We talk about him like he can do it, but don't really believe that he will do it. And even when it gets really bad, don't believe that he can still do it. Then Jesus, again groaning himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Oh my goodness. There has to come a moment. And moving the stone is that moment in the story. Because in the natural, all that is there is a dead body. But Jesus is saying, listen, are you willing to move the stone? Are you willing to move the stone? Because I'm about to do something supernatural. You see, that's why prayer, when we're in crisis, is so vital. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing, that we should come to Him with our prayers and our intercessions. And no matter what's going on, we should continue to cry out to Him, because at any moment, He can answer. In any moment, He can answer, but it requires someone to move the stone. You see, she didn't want to move the stone because he's dead. His body stinks. And have a look at what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You see, in order for you to see the glory, you have to believe first. You have to move the stone first. I don't know what crisis you might be facing right now, but you have to believe and you have to take a step of faith. You might be having a crisis in your marriage. You know, people say to me, you know, obviously every situation is different, is unique. But for example, I had a couple just recently and they were going through some stuff. And I said to them, you know, if you want to get your marriage going, you know, he needs to move back in the house. That's moving the stone. You're not going to work on your marriage the way you really want to while he's living somewhere else and you're living. It's just, you've got to take that step at making it work again. When you're looking for a job, oh God, send me a job, and you're lying on the sofa, you have not moved the stone, guys. Are you with me? That stone is stuck hard. In fact, that stone might roll on you. If you want a deliverance, you need to cry out to Him. You need to move the stone. Because if you don't see move the stone, you will not see the glory of God. And let me tell you something. Far too many Christians live their whole walk with God and they've never seen the glory. They've never tasted it. The problem is, once you've tasted it once, you can't live without it. Every day you want to see it some more. Every day you want another taste. You want another, just to see it one more time. Just to see God do something amazing one more time. Answer a prayer that is impossible. Do something unbelievable. But it's going to require you making that confession, making, crying out, saying that impossible prayer, and sometimes doing it in front of everybody. Martha's standing there, the Pharisees are there, everyone's watching her. Now Jesus is saying, move the stone. They're all looking at her like, listen, are you really going to listen to that freak? That's what they're thinking. That's impossible. That'll never happen. And I don't say that disrespectfully. Listen, I love Jesus with my whole heart. Are you with me? And she's standing there now and she's got to make that choice. You have to make that decision. You have to believe. You cannot believe the negative report. Now watch, next verse. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, and this is my favorite part in the whole text, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Well, when did they talk? There's two possibilities here. Either it was Jesus never said anything, but because they speak so regularly, And Jesus always gets his prayers answered. That he's saying, Lord, I thank you that you've heard me. And basically he's saying, and you're going to do it again. Okay? Or maybe the conversation took place right at the beginning. You see, Jesus comes and says to his disciples, this sickness is not unto death. And how did he know that? Because more than likely he'd already had a conversation. I want you to think about it. 2 days go by, Jesus is still not left. 4 days go by, it might be 6 days, I'm not exactly sure of the timeline, but let's just say that now it's been 4, 6 days have gone by, Lazarus is dead. Jesus already knows that he's going to get healed because there's a good possibility from understanding what the text says that he's already had a conversation with the Father. But what had to happen before the miracle could take place? The stone had to get moved. Why? Because Jesus says, he says to her, just a little bit before that, did I not say to you that if you do what? Believe. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Oh, but you know, Pastor Alex, it's impossible. God doesn't heal anymore today. Well, you're right. He's definitely not going to do any healing in your life. You don't believe. Are you going to be crazy? Are you going to take the risk? Are you going to believe for the impossible? And if you do, I can tell you it's so worth it. It's so worth it to just believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that his same power lives on the inside of us, and at any moment he can do something unbelievable, just something that is unscientifically impossible. Theologically, it makes absolutely no sense. There's nothing that just works. It just doesn't. It's just so radical. It's just so unbelievable. And suddenly, bam, it takes place. And all it requires is for someone to believe. Are you going to be that someone? Are you going to be that someone that believes? Why is it so important? Why is it so important for you to be that someone? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions tonight. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Just go down to verse number 45. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things that Jesus did and believed in him. Someone's got to step out. Someone's got to do something a little bit crazy. Someone's got to believe that Jesus still raises the dead, heals the blind eye, can take away an oppression, can break the power of Satan. Someone's got to believe that he can raise someone from the dead again. Someone's got to believe that he can do something supernatural. And right now in this place, I declare and decree over Olivia in the mighty name of Jesus that her skull will completely heal, that her brain will be 100% whole. I believe it. I prophesy it tonight from this platform. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that you do a miracle. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Father, and we will give you all the glory. We will give you all the praise. Let it touch the doctors. Let it touch the nurses. Let it change our lives. We honor you tonight. We thank you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Come on, I need someone to shout like you believe it. Shout like you believe it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I believe. Now there's one more thing. One more thing I want to share with you. God bless you. Listen to me. Come here. Stand here. Father, in the name of Jesus, this addiction is broken in Jesus' mighty name. You will be free. And listen to me. There is a spirit. There is a dark spirit that has plagued you for years and years. In the name of Jesus, I bind you now and break your power. Lord, set her free tonight. Let her know the joy of the Lord again, Father. Let her work with you like never before. You are free now in Jesus' name. Let her go now, now. Loose her now. Loose her now, now. Now go, now. The blood of Jesus now is against you. There's the power of God all over you now. Just receive it now. Now, just take it now. You're free, my dear. You're free. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Come on, give the Lord a clap. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. You see, you got to step out sometimes. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap. Come on. Come on, guys. Give the Lord a shout. Oh, man. I got to share one more thing. All right, sit down. Sit down. Oh, there's one more thing. Oh, there's one more thing. Everybody say one more thing. Say it again. Say one more thing. Jesus says this. Oh, he says this. He says, Father, I thank you that you hear me. What do you need when you need a miracle? Where is Jesus right now? The Bible says that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father and he is making intercession for you. Listen to me. He's watching the earth to see who will move the stone. Because he's saying to you, move the stone. Move the stone. And when you move the stone, this is the image. He gets up. Father, I thank you that you hear me. And he begins to pray. And as he begins to pray, there is a miracle that will be released on your behalf. Listen to me. There is no other name. There is no other name like that name. That's why you can't pray to Mary. You can't pray to any saint. There is only one name. There is only one person in heaven whose attention you need to get so that the supernatural can take place in your life, so that you can have a breakthrough, so that you can have a miracle, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 You see, if Jesus had just said the first time, don't worry about Lazarus, he'll be fine, and he just woke up, all those people would not have seen what took place. When you give him, Jesus, the glory, when you honor him as the Savior, who is he? He's the Lord. Who is he? He's the healer. Who is he? He's the deliverer. Who is he? He's the one who came to set the captive free. When you call upon him the way that he is, he will respond to you the way that you know him. And heaven will respond. And you will have a breakthrough. My God, you will have a breakthrough. In the name of Jesus, right now in this place, bow your heads, everybody. If you're watching online, I'm including you in this prayer right now. If you need a miracle right now, he is the way maker. He's the one who was and is and is to come. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why do we try to change him? If he healed then, he can heal now. If he healed then, he will heal now. If you need a miracle tonight, you cry out to him right there in your seat. Right there in your seat. Move the stone. Move the stone in your life. Move the stone in your marriage. Move the stone with your children. Whatever it is that you're needing a breakthrough for, move the stone right now and call out upon the name that is above every name. Call out upon the name that saves, the blood of Jesus that set the captive free. The blood of Jesus is against the enemies of the cross. In the mighty name of Jesus, tonight in this place, there is miracle working power available to set you free right now, right now, right here in this place. You need to take it. You need to believe. Everybody stand. Don't be afraid. Don't stay in your seat. Don't stay in your seat. Get up unless you can't for some physical reason. Get up on your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord. Begin to cry out to Him. You know what miracle you need, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be a sickness, whether it be some kind of sin that needs to go from your life. Tonight, move the stone. What does that mean? That means you need to believe. That means you need to believe that He is. Why? So that you can see the glory of God. So that you can see the glory of God in your life. Tonight in this place, He wants to touch you right now. Father, I thank You that You hear me when I pray, Lord. I thank You, Jesus, that when I come to You, Lord, I know that You hear my prayers. And in the name that is above every name, that same power that raised You from the dead, Lord, let it be in this place tonight. And as they cry out to You, I thank You like it was with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, each one in a different place, each one experiencing the trauma in a different way. Everyone in this place experiences things in a different way or in a different place in their life. I ask You now, Father, that You touch them now, that You hear their prayer now, that You deliver them now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill this place right now. Right now, fill them now. Fill them now, Lord. Touch them now, Father. Come on, somebody. Take it like it's busy taking place. Somebody's got to take a step of faith. Someone's got to believe. Someone's got to believe in the name that is above every name. I can't do anything more. Now it's up to You. Come on, is there one? Is there even one that's going to receive it now? Is there even one that moves the stone now? Come on, somebody, take your miracle. Take your breakthrough in the name of Jesus right now. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. You know every individual in this building. You know where they're at right now, Lord. We give you thanks, Father, right now for what you will do in Olivia and with the Fleming family. We give you thanks for it. We ask, Lord, that they will stand on this platform and they will testify of your goodness and of your mercy and of your love. Life, life. We speak life to that child in the Jesus precious name. And we give you thanks for it. Thank you, Lord, that you still do miracles today. You've done it tonight. Take it now, right where you are. In the name of Jesus. Now let's just thank him for just a moment. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We have so much to give you thanks for, Lord. Such a good God. Take our hearts of stone, Father, and turn them into hearts of flesh, Lord. Let our hearts be broken for you. You are the potter, and we are the clay. Mend us and mold us that we shall become your masterpiece. Lord, when they look at our lives, let them see you, Lord. Let them see you, Lord. More of you and less of us. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way in our lives. And so we give you thanks. And we give you praise. And we give you all the honor in this place. Now, as I pray for everyone as they leave, Father, I pray that they will leave with a peace that surpasses understanding. That there will be testimonies that will come forth. And they will speak of your goodness. They will speak of your love. And they will speak of your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I pray that the peace of God that surpasses understanding be with you as you leave this place tonight. And you will have a night of rest and peace. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.